Hey there, Chilluminati listeners. I want to start this episode by letting you know this is the first of what we hope are many minisode compilations. Over on patreon.com/chilluminatipod at the $15 tier or above, after every single episode during the week, a minisode then gets released over on Patreon. After we do our fifth one, the first four will get bundled and released as a regular episode about a month after we start. That way, everything on Patreon is a timed exclusive. So if you're listening to these and thinking you want more, head over to patreon.com/chilluminatipod. The next minisode is almost as long as the main episode, clocking in about 49 minutes. It's a lot of stuff to take in. We hope to see you there, and thank you all so much for your support. Patrons, and welcome to the very first mini. We don't really have a title for these, do we?
Let's call them mini men. Let's call them mini men. Mini men.
Mini men?
Because they're not boys, they're men.
What is it?
Growing up. Not too hot.
Whatever the hell this is that they are now singing, because I don't get the reference.
Boys to men. ABC, BBD.
Oh, okay. I got it now. That's all. I needed to hear the one line that is famous from that song. Whatever this is, welcome to it, where we, the hosts of Chilluminati Pod, talk about some crazy headlines over the past week or month or so out in the world of the paranormal, UFO, or something bizarre, and we just fucking talk about it and say thank you for your support and we love you a lot.
Hell yeah.
I've got something about UFOs, Alex has something about wildlife, and Jesse is here to tell us we're wrong.
All right, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right, this
article... Mine's more general, more broad.
For sure. This article comes from Paul Seaburn at mysteriousuniverse.org on February 21st, who wrote, "Mysterious 10-foot humanoid reportedly rips leg off of deer in Hull." Okay, and I have a quote.
Hull, England?
In North Lincolnshire, yeah.
That's where Dean lives!
There you go.
He lives up there. Oh, Dean!
This one's for you, right, buddy. Look out for this guy. He's coming for your legs. He thought it was a ghost at first. He could see it had a humanoid form, but it was darker than night, and it just moved across the road. And
what?
The guy's name is Finchy McFinch.
Finchy McFinch.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And he said he saw. No. He said he saw something crossing the road that was about 10 feet tall. He went back the following day and found a hole that it might have run through in the hedge, and he saw something that he thought was really weird at the exact place where that happened, which was he found two deer legs sitting in the middle of the road. And there's a picture of it on this other article, which I will send to you now so that you can
see. Oh, my God. Is it the England Sasquatch?
So that you may see these images. Just go ahead and follow.
With his bowler hat and everything.
He's got one on. He's very dapper. But check out those two deer legs right there at the top of that article.
I see those two deer legs. There they are.
The quote is, "The picture quality isn't great as it was taken from inside the car because he was just a bit creeped out. You tell people about it and they say it's just poachers. And yes, that does go on. But why would a poacher stop on the A18 to butcher a deer carcass?"
I mean, maybe he's starving to death, dude. And he needs to get food in the system now.
Yeah.
Butcher it, clean it, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 style. You just do it on the spot.
He says that he thinks other people must have seen it because of how busy it was. And sure enough, the Hull Daily found an unnamed elderly couple who also said that they saw the same 10-foot humanoid creature. And neither Finchy McFinch or this anonymous old couple from Hull had anything to say. But Finchy's friend Lee had a few theories. He said, "South of the river, there's been quite a few sightings of a half-deer, half-man creature similar to the puka of Celtic folklore."
That also sounds very similar to Skinwalker.
Yes. And he said also that there's Bigfoot sightings that are in the area up and down the A15.
There you go.
And I want to tell you something else. These guys are the host and the co-host of the Realm of the Supernatural podcast. Finchy McFinch and Lee Solway Which I don't know what that says about them. I don't know if it's bad. Like, would you, if as the host of the Chilluminati podcast, would you take to the Chilluminati pod as your way of reporting actual paranormal activity?
Listen,
that happened
I'm telling
to
you?
You
right now, if I get ever abducted, it is Chilluminati pod is going to be the first place that I say it.
I'd tweet about it first, I think.
I might tweet about it.
Guys, got abducted, LOL.
But here's the thing, because we have a podcast, nobody would ever believe us. So we're prime abduction material because people are just going to think we're trying to boost our podcast.
Do you think the aliens are listening right now and that they're going to be like, oh, shit, he's right. We should kidnap them.
Your whole thing, yeah, you just want to just get taken. You're trying to sell it to the aliens.
Only by very specific species of aliens. I don't want the reptilians to take me.
Right.
That's bad news.
That'd be crazy.
You'd rather go up. You'd rather go up than down.
I'd rather, yeah, like, at least with the Greys, I have a good chance of them trying to, like, jack me off.
Hell yeah.
What is going on in your head on a
day-to-day basis? I just roll with it. I think it's good. I think he's being true.
What are you talking about? The Greys always are gathering seed, looking to, you know, create star children.
Maybe the Greys be gathering, baby.
They be gathering. What do you want? Like, what do you want? Where, if it was the Nordics, they'd likely just be here telling me I'm the one they're going to use as, like, their communication device, like they do with every other person that supposedly ever meets a Nordic.
So check this out. So these guys, as this story happened, just happened to be promoting the fact that they're going to be at the Research and Witness Convention 2020 in Kingston upon Hull, which actually I think already happened this last week. But the reason that I picked this article is because they linked this sighting to a paranormal creature that is known to be in the area that is called Old Stinker. And
hang on, I need to Google Old Stinker.
Old Stinker is Stinker. Also known as the Beast of Barmston Drain, and it's an alleged werewolf that has horrible breath. And the way that,
wait, why is that his defining
characteristic? It's because every story about him has mentioned his horrible breath.
Oh my God. There's this picture of this art. He's like a badass werewolf dude. He's got red eyes and his mouth is open, but like a yellow, like reddish, like glow is coming out of his mouth.
But the article
stink lines. He's got
stink lines.
The article brings up the fair point that the Old Stinker is only reported to be 8 feet tall and not 10 as McFinch.
Obviously.
Has described.
Well, maybe just like the Mothman, Old Stinker's part of like a family of Old Stinkers.
I don't know. But I don't know. These types of stories always freak me out. There's one. Have you ever heard of the Pilliga Princess?
Nope.
I don't even remember. There's this guy. There's some show in Australia. It's like a radio show. And this guy came on that was called Bongo. And he.
That's right. We listened to this.
This guy came on who was called Bongo, and he is just not all right. Like, he is not fine. Like, I think I could probably find the audio recording of it, but man, like, big time actual trigger warning if you don't want to hear someone who is in real distress about this horrible creature that kidnapped him off the side of the road when his truck broke down and took him to a shack where a bunch of human limbs were hanging on all the walls.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, that's fucking bananas, dude. I don't know. My brain, like, the other thing that, like, this kind of leads into, like, my couple of articles that I've chosen, which are alien-related, surprising nobody. But one of the big things that's, like, a big topic of conversation right now in just kind of, like, UFO circles is just, well, it's always kind of a topic of conversation. Cattle mutilation or just animal mutilation? In the surgically removed insides of the cattle and the cow's tongue, and sometimes their entire anus and genitalia are scooped out, and having like deer legs left on the road kind of just reminds me a little bit of that, but it's a little bit more, I don't know, gory or rough.
Yeah, I don't know. Cat, like, animal mutilations to me are always such a...
Oh, they're just bizarre.
Well, it's always such a mixed bag. Like, you look at cattle mutilations for more than a few seconds and you're like, oh, this is just a natural... process that people are misunderstanding, but sometimes it's really convincing.
The ones that are like the night before, like their cattle was fine, and the next morning it's all scooped out.
It's the same thing as the Dyatlov
Pass.
Yeah, you know, like it's like, yes, there's some elements to it that are scary, but there's also some elements to it that are like, oh wait, is this just like nature did this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just, you got to be very careful about the ones that, you know, the ones that are just like the next day. Those are the ones that you have to concern yourself with. What are you looking for right now, Alex? Sorry.
I'm trying to find this bongo clip.
While you're looking for that, boys, aliens are still a thing. I just want you all to know.
I don't think I'm ever going to forget.
You don't say.
Yes, I know. But there's been a lot of, like, in the chaos of the election, a lot of UFO news. Not big stuff like, oh my God, another video or an interview with this guy. But just little things like congressmen who are running, who are being either, like, they believe they're being kind of shut up, or there's letters being sent by congressmen demanding more information on UFOs and it going unresponded or completely ignored. One in particular, the Navy specifically said recently that if they released files of UFO sightings out into the world, it would damage security on a national scale. This coming obviously after the UFOs that were leaked recently via the Navy that they encountered way out in the middle of the water. The ones from 2017 that were made more public and thanks to Tom DeLonge of Blink-182 in 2019, the true leader of the alien revolution. It's going to be Blink-182's lead singer, Tom DeLonge. However,
what do you think it is? What do you think that news is?
What part?
Like, what briefing? What do you think's in the briefing?
Oh, so that's interesting. Well, I don't know. So I've thought about that many times. In my initial thought is it just showcases that the United States Army can't keep up with every threat that shows up. And to know that there's that many threats that they just can't keep up with, that are just moving too fast or like they don't understand how it maneuvers, that kind of thing. To quote, though, it says a spokeswoman for the Pentagon had also previously told the Black Vault, which is a civilian-run archive of government documents, that the videos were, quote, never officially released to the general public by the Department of Defense and should have still been withheld, unquote. The Department of Defense video show pilots confused by, as you've all seen, what they're seeing. In one video, one pilot saying, what the fuck is that thing? The term UFO, along with others like unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is what the government is using officially now, no longer UFO, it's UAP, and unidentified flying object, which is what we're mostly used to, does not necessarily mean that the object is thought to be extraterrestrial. That's an important thing that I think a lot of people in this, you know, like doing this as a hobby who are very fanatic about it, forget. Like, it's really, really, really tempting to just say that thing moves better than any technology we're aware of. It must be alien. That's not necessarily the case. Many such sightings ultimately end up having logical and earthly explanations, often involving military technology. I just want to take that paragraph right there and say, if that's true, not a single time have they ever come forward and say this is what it is.
Sure.
And like, so to say that thing just drives me nuts. It's like, sure, you can say that, but they've never said that that's what it is. The only time I can think of it is the weather balloon thing. And even then, that's very, very, very debatable whether it was a weather balloon, secret government technology, or something more.
Do you think he's fucking with us or that he made a mistake?
You're talking about the weather balloon?
Just like the fact that he was like, there are things that we don't even, that will fuck you up.
I think they're just actively hiding what is actually going on. I just don't know if it's alien or not.
Right.
The Pentagon spokeswoman Susan Gao also said this week that an investigation into the sightings is still ongoing. Joseph Gradisher, the Navy spokesman for the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare, told the Black Vault last year that, quote, the Navy has not publicly released characterizations or descriptions, nor released any hypothesis or conclusions in regard to the objects contained in the referenced videos, which directly contradicts what they just said a minute ago. Of like, there's earthly explanations. It's this, it's that. And then the Navy guy comes forward. He's like, we have no fucking idea. Another letter got sent in 2019 that recently got made public sent to the honorable quote unquote Mark Walker, U.S. House of Representatives. In July 16th of 2019, and the letter specifically says, it's not that long, there have been a number of reports of unauthorized and or unidentified aircraft entering various military-controlled training ranges and designated airspaces in the recent years. The Department of the Navy takes these reports very seriously and continues to log sightings and fully investigate the accounts. The wide proliferation and availability of inexpensive unmanned aerial systems, UASs, has increasingly made airspace deconfliction an issue for our aviators. Drones, basically, is what he's saying. Drones are a pain and are always going to be a pain, especially now that civilians have access to them. It's just going to make it very difficult to do with their job. Naval air crews have been provided reporting guidance to determine the frequency and locations of UAS operating and training areas. The guidance supports objective data-driven analysis of incursions. The DON, which is the Department of the Navy, continues to dedicate resources to the tracking and investigation of reports that could affect the safety of our air crews. Keep in mind, too, we talked about a few, like a month or so ago. Do you remember all those drone sightings that were in various different states?
The big-ass drones?
Yeah, none of that was ever figured out.
Still?
It just got... I read a thing about it the other day that I was just like, let go. Go ahead, look it up. Look it up. And there's no answer.
I bet it was figured out. I bet they were like, yeah, no, we don't need to tell people about it.
That's also very possible. The public was never informed, rather. The Department of the Navy is aligned with the Department of Defense and interagency partners on this effort. So they're not the only ones working on trying to figure out where these things are coming from and who they are. Department of the Navy is leveraging established relationships with services other than the DOD offices, the U.S. intelligence community, and the U.S. government agencies that will help us to better understand these incursions into training areas. We will continue to ensure our efforts are closely coordinated with the organizations in this increasingly complex aviation environment. And then it's just one more paragraph of, we're committed to doing this and that and the usual. But that's a letter sent by Thomas B. Moldy to Mark Weller, House of Representatives. July 31st is when this was stamped of 2019.
That is fucking
insane. And this was made public very recently. So it's already like the government is at least admitting and acknowledging that their training areas are being probed by things they don't know. They can't, they don't know what it is. They're dedicating multiple resources to it. And there's still no answer as to what this is.
I looked up the drones, by the way. And there's an article from Colorado Public Radio that said that's literally titled from January 31st. What happened to Colorado's mysterious drones? Here's the thing. Nobody knows.
Told you.
Isn't that crazy?
They just disappeared. They just stopped showing up.
The drone came close to hitting a Flight for Life helicopter. It was a hobbyist's drone, unconnected to the mystery. Four sightings confirmed. Did not find evidence substantiating reports of large wingspan drones traveling in groups. No idea.
It's why we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Idea. Does the government know? That's another question. We obviously don't know. But what do you think, Jesse, of that letter sent by by a government official to Congress?
Seems pretty legit.
I know.
Do you think that they use aliens as an excuse sometimes, the U.S. government?
I've read that theory multiple times.
Yes,
absolutely.
Always. I believe that more than anything. I think it's easier for them to be like, yeah, here's some BS, than to say the real truth, which would be more frightening to people because they would see it as real versus aliens, which many people don't believe are real.
The only thing we do know is that there, and clearly other government officials don't know either, whether they're just not in the loop, obviously, or not, is that there are things that are flying over not only the sea and our ships, and like we have the videos of those, but things that are flying into our airspace over our country as well. The government's aware of it, and they just don't know what it is. And whatever they are, they're not attacking. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're hovering and watching, and that's been happening for decades.
I heard that Tom DeLonge's group has now been budgeted $750,000 to do research, right?
They were contracted by the U.S. government.
Well, the government bought the stuff from them, right?
Yes. Though they contracted them to have access to all their stuff.
Yeah.
Like I read the contract a little while ago. Here's the thing, the grain of salt you want to take with that is the government contracts things constantly, like all the time, outside companies and stuff. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. The only reason I kind of put a little bit more weight into this than I do in anything else is because Tom DeLonge did release a video that ended up being acknowledged as true. Granted, it happened 2 years later after he released it, but still. We'll see. We will see. We're still in the acknowledgement phase. You know, the government is slowly but surely easing us into the reality.
My dad tells me every time I see him, right before I leave, he always is like, disclosure's coming. I love you,
son.
It
is coming. Disclosure is happening.
So I don't know. We'll see.
And Jesse, I know you don't believe, but hey, for $10,000, I bet you would.
Maybe. I make no promises.
That's it. That's the first little mini-sode there. There's a couple of things that are happening during the week. You know, I feel like I'll always be able to come to one of these things with some new alien thing. So I will personally endeavor not to drag aliens to every single one.
I'll bring a plethora of articles. Let's say that.
Yeah. It'll be good times.
I already have like a little notepad full of articles.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
that
shit.
That I build anyway, so I'm sure every week I'll find at least something.
There's always something weird happening in the world, one way or another. We'll figure it out.
Glad
we'll
we
find
said
it.
Weird and not real. That's good.
You know, weird is real. Well, that's what they say. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No.
Real is how your brain defines it. And on that...
Weird is real, raw is war.
What?
Yeah.
Real is how your brain interprets what it sees. Real is only as real
that's
as your brain
true.
Says.
That is, in fact, not true. And there are many diseases that it's one of the symptoms.
Yeah. Well, until, Jesse, you bring your own factually packed episode, we are the only ones bringing truth to this podcast.
Yeah, here's my factually packed episode information. Hey, gang, wash your hands. There yeah, you go.
Also
done.
True. That's wash solid. Your hands. Don't get coronavirus.
And that's not just for you Patreon folks. That's for everyone.
20 seconds. Warm yeah. the hot water. So
this
ABCs,
is for everybody.
Say your ABCs whether you're twice.
Whether you're listening to this immediately or you're listening to this
don't
part
of don't
touch
your face or your mouth. Are you also trying to like...
Oh, I can't help
you
it.
You know, stop it. Stop it.
Anxiety makes me cut bite my nails, man. It just
doesn't
happens.
That you're going to be the problem. Also, if you bite your nails, don't do that thing where you just wash your hands for 20 seconds. Get soap up under your nails if you're going to bite your nails.
I worked a restaurant 11 years. You got to do that counting thing and you got to go through it. Nice warm water.
Get the little brush stuff. That goes
Act
under your
like
nails.
Like a doctor. You're welcome.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Thanks for listening, Patreon supporters, and thank you so much for the support. We'll be back with some new articles in the next one. Goodbye.
Peace out, bitch.
Bye.
Hello, hello, everybody. Or should I say hello, hello, patron?
What's up?
First of all, what's up? Thank you for supporting us and listening to us talk about more nonsense that we love. And just a general appreciation for your chipping in and making this something that we can keep on doing.
Can we call these...
We got a couple
can
of...
Can we call these chili beans?
Oh, my God. That's so good, actually. Chili beans? Oh, that's pretty good. Jesse, do you agree? We need all three here.
I do not agree.
How about chili mini, a chimichanga,
a mini chili.
It's even worse.
A chili changa,
even worse.
A tater.
Anyway,
a tater thought.
Welcome. We got
even
some headlines.
Worse.
Wait, what'd you call
we
it?
Called it a tater thought.
A tater thought.
It's like a tater tot, which is like.
It sounds like the podcast like, of Idaho Potato Corp. Like
tater
thoughts.
Tater
the
thoughts. President of the with board the of potatoes.
A ride of potatoes.
If you've deleted your Patreon, I understand.
They're like,
but if you haven't, thank you. And let's talk about some headlines that we've brought up. I brought a couple, but one main one. Alex, I don't know what you brought.
I brought one about the TTSA.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. And I linked you what I was bringing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jesse brought anything, but if you haven't, we'll take you on a ride.
I'm like trying to be coy about what I brought so that like secretly so we didn't
I've actually
spoil it for each other.
I've been reading. There's some TTSA stuff that's been coming out recently.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what you brought.
Do you want me to just...
And I don't know if we should start with you or
it's
or
not
start
like,
with me.
It's not like earth-shaking. I'm going to just get into it. I feel like we talk about this a lot on the pod, and I thought people might want just a little bit more insight into it. So
for those who don't know, TTSA, To the Stars Academy, is the UFO group that Tom DeLonge started and runs and now works with the government.
Yeah, so this article originally appeared on Motherboard, which is part of Vice.com, yesterday, March 13th. 2020. It's called U.S. Army Refuses to Release Records About Tom DeLonge's UFO Organization, and it's by a guy who does a lot of the paranormal UFO stuff that's on Motherboard, which actually is a very good resource for like a pretty reasonable coverage of that type of stuff that's like fairly vetted compared to a lot of other sources you find online, so I highly recommend
it.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of websites that are just like some blog that has a lot of readers, but that doesn't mean it's like peer-reviewed and stuff, but
exactly.
Vice.com, they have like journalistic standards. So You know, it's a good place. But first, let me just give you a little recap beyond what Mathis just said, which is that Tom DeLonge, he's the Blink-182 frontman of the past. He doesn't play with them anymore. His organization, which we're going to call TTSA for the remainder of this, is the To the Stars Academy. It had, if you remember, it's the same organization that brought those videos out that we were talking about that have the really good video evidence of the like craft moving in a way that more normally craft don't move. And they entered into an agreement specifically with the U.S. Army Combat Capabilities Development Command, which I'm going to call the CCDC. Just for this.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the whole point was to study materials that they have allegedly and initiatives, yep, that they were already working on within their own group, which could possibly lead to technological developments like, and these are specific things that have been outlined by the military, active camouflage, inertial mass reduction, beamed energy propulsion, and quantum communication. These are all things that they are legitimately looking into with this.
Okay. This is the you said this is the contract between TTSA and the government, right?
Yeah, it's the U.S. Army, yeah, Combat Capabilities.
I don't know if you remember, but like a while ago, I actually read through that contract.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And Jesse's response was, "The government contracts everybody for everything."
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
True, they do.
But this happened last October, so it's like about 6 months ago now or so. Mm-hmm. But they are contracted to work for 5 years on this. This is a 5-year agreement. And the main thing that the Army was interested in was something called the Atom Project, which we have discussed before. I don't know if we actually called it the Atom Project or not, but that's what it's called.
Recap it for those who might not know.
It was an internal project that started at TTSA before the agreement, which according to a guy called Doug Hallow, who is the spokesperson for the Ground Vehicle Systems Center at the CCDC, he says it's a global dragnet for the collection and evaluation of novel materials, which in this case means things that are unique or rare or are just unaccountable, like nobody knows how they got here. Stuff like that, like weird stuff.
Which is important because the TTSA, as we've covered in the past as well, one of the main reasons they were contracted is because they claim to have materials that don't exist on Earth and pieces of craft, right, and stuff like that.
And so in vague terms, basically what the reason that the government is paying them is because they have this program where it's a network across the world where they're trying to find these items and get them in one place and collect them for research. So apparently the new news that came out yesterday about this is that any of the reason, it's not news, I would say, but there's something interesting in this. Apparently any of the research or findings uncovered under this deal between the TTSA and the Army are exempt from Freedom of Information Act requests. And that's just due to it's not like specific to this operation. It's a normal Army regulation, 7057, if you care or know what that means. But there's this guy, John Greenwald, who runs this declassified document site called the Black Vault, and it's a website just all about, you know, getting these documents, making them available, using FOIA to its fullest extent, which is the Freedom of Information Act, if you don't know. And he filed a request, he tried to get around it by filing a request for all records and emails for one of the scientists who's working on this project in the Army side, a guy named Dr. Joseph Cannon. And he like cross-referenced that in the request with a bunch of search terms that were things like TTSA, To the Stars, probably extraterrestrial, you know, stuff like that. So he does like a search request, and it kind of worked in that the Army got back to him and was like, there are 29 documents that match your search, but unfortunately, all of them are exempt from a FOIA. And they reiterated that absolutely no info on this topic was going to be released by the Army. Okay. And so Vice asked that guy, Doug Hallow, that I was talking about earlier, the Army spokesperson, why this would be the case, why they would be so tight-lipped about this when, especially since TTSA is so about transparency and that's what they committed to. And that's like something that they reassured people, like, yes, you know, we're a transparent organization. We are going to be working with the military. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. And so Doug Hallow, they asked him why this would be the case. And he basically said he had no idea himself, like what exactly it was that they're working on. He wouldn't be able to talk about it if he did know exactly what it was. And that it was all, this all was because it's just a bunch of, quote, trade secrets. trade secrets and commercial or financial information that's privileged or confidential, which to me basically means that there's probably actually something valuable in the information that they're working on that they are concerned could fall into the hands of a company or somebody else who could profit off of it. So whether right. or not it's something groundbreaking, it seems like there is something to protect here. And that sounds a little crazy at first. That sounds like a big leap for me to make, well, right?
At the same time, too, like even beyond like profiteering and whatnot, with the government specifically, they probably just don't want shit falling into other countries'
right.
hands as
national
well.
National security, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still a leap for me to be like, they have alien technology or they have.
Yeah.
But last year, the same guy, Doug Hallow, who is, again, from the Army and not from the To the Stars Academy, also said that the government thinks that, quote, key technologies or capability that the Army is investigating with the TTSA are certainly on the leading edge of the realm of the possible. So again, there is something tangible that they have got from the TTSA that is quantifiable, that he has some sort of information about for him to make a statement like that. And that's especially good because it comes at a relatively low cost to the government, because it's something that they didn't have to do. So they're going full into this. And remember, we were talking about they only spent like $750,000 on this or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't very high.
Which isn't very high, but that's because a lot of the work has already been done. And really what this is it's more like a tracking buyout down type of thing. Mm. Like you're trying to talk to people who may have something that you want to obtain. You know what I mean? There's not that much science that has to be done yet. Still, according to the COO of the TTSA, which is a guy with an awesome name that's called Steve Justice, who used to work, he used to direct the advanced systems development at Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works department. So this is like a real guy, you know, he who now went from Lockheed Martin Skunk Works to the Stars Academy. And according to him, nothing like a breakthrough, nothing like insane, like making like a fucking levitating spaceship
right.
of our own.
No propulsion breakthroughs. Yeah.
Nothing like that has
nonsense.
Happened yet. If for no other reason, like we know that because the TTSA is so committed to transparency. And here's a quote from him that I'm just going to end this out with, because it's kind of interesting to think about this. He says, "It is easy to assume that TTSA's government agreement automatically locks up the results of research. However, it must be noted that the discussions with the government that led to the contract language were completed with the knowledge that one of TTSA's prime objectives is public transparency and commercial applications," right? So they are actually trying to monetize this and also get the information about what it is, where it came from, etc. Note the contract language that specifically identifies two-way sharing of information. The benefit of the agreement is to gain access to otherwise inaccessible government laboratories and technical expertise to expose all attributes of unusual materials and share the results. If unusual attributes are found, TTSA may use that information to create applications for public benefit. We cannot speak for any action the Army might take after studying the results. So what this point, like the in conclusion of this is that, yes, there's nothing to show. Yes, the Army is being tight-lipped. But the thing that's missing from that equation is that, according to the TTSA, they are committed to getting this information out there once it is found. And hearing that stuff is in the works from the Army and them being tight-lipped about it does not mean that there is secrets yet that the TTSA has gone back on their promise to be transparent about, because
transparent,
obviously
yeah.
we're 6 months in into a 5-year thing. So we keep going back to this. It kind of seems like something that fizzled, but I just want to point out this little detail, because just this, the things that this article covered, I thought was neat, because it really makes it clear that, like, yes, there is something here. Yes, they are working on something real, and that they just don't have anything of value to
share.
Bring to us yet. So I would stay focused on this story if I were you, general public, who's interested in this type of thing.
I've been keeping my ear to the ground, the TTSA, since they jumped up the Army. So like the thing you're talking about, like, man, I really want it to be real. It's like, I really, really, really want it to be real, but we'll see.
I mean, look, there's something whatever it is, like regardless of whether it's, you know, just some a list of things that exist out there that the government was like somehow, you know, confident of or convinced of, there is something of value that the government sees here. So I think we just need to wait and see, because I think there could be something.
Disclosure is coming.
I don't know. I'm not going to say disclosure is coming, but I could. I do feel like there is something that's being worked on here, and that to me is.
There's definitely something they're doing for sure. Also, can we say that this is alien related? Now that we have all experienced the mass stupidity of the coronavirus, of how people react, is it safe to say that yeah? The government telling us about aliens would cause the Earth to just explode because people are dumb.
Maybe not at this point.
I learned something by like just the last couple weeks, plural, yeah. I guess. The thing I've noticed is that the reaction that's happening, a lot of people are making jokes about toilet paper and like, why are they buying? The thing that I've noticed is people, us, we react in ways that are very primitive.
Oh yeah,
and
we go hide in a hole.
but the idea is that like, paper. Well, and the reason why people bought toilet paper, you're like, it's about coughing and it's about
to stay home.
Why would you buy toilet paper? Things that people are buying, if you look at what they're buying things that are items that give them some sense of control, right? Because they don't know anything. Because at least in this country, no one's told them anything. No one can tell you what this like what it looks like what this virus looks like. It's not a physical, tangible thing. You could get it, or you. How would you know you have it until you have it? That kind of stuff. You are told stay away from people, but at the same time, people are like, "Don't worry, it's not. It's like the flu. Don't worry about it." You're told that like this could kill 1.5 million people, but like at the same time, so no one knows. So everyone's reacting in ways that are like insane. Because they're trying to establish some sense of control in their life by doing things like, I'm going to get the toilet paper so at least I won't run out of that. Or water, I'll at least have water if I should need it, right? Because they don't know what else they actually need because no one's telling them anything. And so I would think that the right way to do when aliens are here is to like be, here's what we know. Here's what's happening. Here's Glicknor the alien to talk to you about it. Like, literally don't do that BS where, like, aliens have landed and we'll get back to you shortly. That
you
would
cause
panic.
You know that's
going to
happen, though.
Oh, I know. And that's what – that would cause people to lose their minds because no one knows anything.
Google
and the
is going to make
knowing.
A alien website tomorrow. It's going to be beautiful. It's a great alien website.
See now, like, breaking news. Ship has landed. Unknown creatures aboard. And it's just, like, chaos.
That would cause panic. Yes. That would definitely do it. But if you're saying that they're trying to roll it out to us, the rollout should be, hey, gang.
We are on,
me and
this we are on top
to a
of this.
Press conference. Yeah, and then people be like, okay, this isn't as crazy. Yes, there would be people who are like, end of days. But the vast majority of people be like, fucking holy shit.
End of days.
Yeah. because there's one thing, just going out in public. You see people are not. Except for like the videos every once in a while you see where people are like fighting over milk. Most people, at least in this town, are not screaming at each other, are being very polite. Here. They're just stocking up. They're getting things because people are telling them, stay away from people, but we don't know how long this is going to last. We have no answers for you. Social distance. And everyone's like, okay. So people are out getting stuff done and being very polite and nice to each other, but they're also prepared for things to get worse. But who knows? No one has any answers. And so that's the same thing here. If the government gave us real, truthful answers on like an alien release, then all right, I think we'd be fine. People would be like, I need to go get water, but they wouldn't be like, I'll kill you for this water. Right? You know.
See, I have a weird feeling like even if they did the slow roll, the shock of intelligent species existing beyond ourselves, because there's so many people who believe in a higher power and in a, you know, life beyond mortal, I feel like that would shatter so many people's beliefs that it would just send people into chaos.
I truly believe that much like the way over the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 40 years, religion has taken on a different meaning for many people, where it isn't like, oh, well, it's either God created the earth in 5 days or nothing. Now it's like, Well, you know, what is 5 days to God? It could be billions of years. Who knows?
And honestly,
like that kind of thing?
And honestly, think of the stuff that we do accept. Like, people are like, on the news, like, there is 5 minutes left before we do irreparable damage to the earth and all our children die. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, you know, there is a virus overtaking the entire country. Like, the stuff that we just, like, adapt to normal in, like, 1 second is, like, just crazy. So, I don't know.
How very quickly a brain can make your new routine feel so normal.
I just want want it to be the status quo, which is why I kind of agree with Jesse that they need to just be like, we are on top of the shit.
I agree that they need to do that. Here, I don't have the confidence of the government. Like, even if the government is aware, from everything I've been doing research and listening to interviews, you know, as far as like, you know, the release of the 2017 videos and the pilot who did it, it very much just sounds like government just has no idea and they are just doing a poor job at trying to figure it out.
I think it's less conspiracy and more like bungling.
Yes.
Like, I don't think they'd be like, we're going to pull one over on them. I think they'd be so inept at telling people what's going on that
we're
they would cause panic. Yeah.
We're seeing it now.
But I know for a fact that if, you know, if aliens showed up, I believe at least with the current Pope, for example, that dude would be out there and be like, look, even though it's not in the Bible, there's all these other things like this wheel and this guy, like all those conspiracy things. He would immediately be like,
time out.
Look, it's like just because Jesus didn't say to you that there were aliens doesn't mean it wasn't mentioned like that. I believe that religion would so easily quickly change to be like, there have always been aliens. What are you talking about?
The little thing I brought that we'll actually just kind of cover very quickly because, you know, it actually ties directly into that. There is an event that happened in mid-February. It was picked up by NASA's Helio Viewer. Or their heliospheric observatory, SOHO.
This video is so cool.
It's super dope. I didn't know this happened until I saw another article written a few weeks ago that dropped about it. It picked up something that almost eclipsed the sun completely and then went back to its position and they didn't talk about it. It was ignored. A UFO bigger than the Earth moved in, covered about half of the sun. And then within 20 minutes, I think, and then repositioned itself back to where it came from. You can watch it. It's like it's video of it.
The video footage started. There's like 4 seconds of it. Mm-hmm. And then it immediately gets cut off by the feed. The live feed gets cut off.
Did NASA, what the fuck? That's insane. Why would you do that?
And so it looks like kind of a imagine a circle with a cross in it, kind of like but more like the Red Cross cross.
And so the reason I bring this up is Ezekiel's wheel that's brought up. This is being compared by conspiracy theorists to Ezekiel's wheels that are seen in the Bible. But continue. Yeah, but that's it. Like, that's unfortunately it. It's like, I had no idea this happened. They just never talked about it. The only way I figured it out is there's a few conspiracy sites I visit every so often. And Sputnik, not really a conspiracy site, but kind of a lower end news site, if you want to call it that, wrote a very quick, like, two-paragraph article about this thing back on March 3rd. And I was like, wait, what? And I went back. And this actually happened. And like you said, they cut off the feed. We don't know. And it's just never been talked about.
It's one of those things that has a lot of unknowns as well, where we don't know the actual distance of this thing. It could be, because based on the footage, it could be very, very close to the sun and huge. Or closer to us and smaller. Like, we don't know the size based on the actual, like, positioning of this telescopic lens.
But it did block the sun, partially.
Partially. It was moving in its way to create an eclipse, and apparently it just moved back into its position afterward. Like, it just moved up and then kind of moved back.
I got a great comment on the page that says, thanks for sharing this. UFOs become visible to us when they temporarily lower their vibratory rate down to ours. Their gentle way of saying hello without frightening us. Author/esotericist Benjamin Cream said they're benevolent elder brothers from more advanced civilizations who clean up toxic nuclear waste created by our relatively primitive nuclear scientists.
Oh, dude, we got alien janitors in space
cleaning
up our shit.
I would love it if that was
the
true.
The idea is that without
that'd be
them,
the best truth.
Without them, like, coming and scooping off the, you know, the.
Do they? And then Oh my God, in that story where they dumped the white hot liquid, it wasn't jizz. It was like radioactive waste.
Also, I would love it if they could just go to Fukushima and just real quickly just get there and
clean it
up. You're taking your time, guys. If you could just fly down.
You know what?
I'm
sure there's a lot of irreparable nuclear events on the planet that they're dealing with, so.
You're right.
It's like Santa, you know, like he does take him like all night to do it. He doesn't just do it in one night. Like he still has to. We've seen the movie.
I mean, Santa can do it in one night. Anyway,
that's it. That's all I had for that one, just because I was like, that was mind blowing
that
happened.
There's not a lot to the story.
Yeah.
Right?
No, like, it really isn't.
It's just the footage.
People saw it. Yeah, people saw the footage. And then
they only saw it because they were going through the records. NASA didn't come out and be like, hey, we caught this thing. People were going through the helioviewer and heliosphere
viewer.
But also,
the footage cuts. Like, it's cut.
Somebody
saw
it.
So someone was
like,
nope.
Whoa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somebody actively was like, fuck no. No.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what that means.
It could mean anything.
What it could be anything. The thing that is amusing and interesting to me is that it isn't like the footage ends. Like, someone cut the footage. And that's the interesting thing to me, because what is that? Why? What is the answer there? Why did that happen? Who knows?
Yeah, it's probably more interesting than the footage, which could be anything.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's the context, the implication that somebody actively said no, as opposed to letting it go and then making up an excuse.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck. That's it for minisodes, dudes. That's it. That's all I got.
You get that earnest fuck from Mathis right at the end. That's just him thinking about the possibility that aliens are real.
I am.
You know that's
I
a good Shilluminati.
Again. It, dude. And for all you Patreon listeners that are supporting and taking a listen, man, we are on the cusp of beginning our Skinwalker Ranch series. I am so excited. You have no idea. The insane shit that supposedly happens on that ranch. Have you been keeping up with the recent developments of it? It changing hands, being bought, and then handed over to research?
I've been, like, not paying attention to it because I both want to watch the show and also listen to this episode that we're going to do.
This episode? Dude, it's a minimum three.
If our listeners want homework, I have homework for them.
Okay.
All right. Patreon-exclusive homework. Research. Go research the new designated planet WASP 76b.
Oh, God.
It is twice the size of Jupiter. One side faces its sun, and it has iron rain. It rains iron.
Heavy rain?
How cool is that?
Heavy rain?
Where is this?
It's in another, another...
Out there?
Yeah, another solar system. It is a planet that it takes 2 days to go around its sun. That's how close it is to the sun.
Jesus.
And because it goes so fast, only one side ever faces the sun. Because as it spins, only one. So there's one side that is like several thousand degrees, and the other side is, still like 2,000 degrees, but several less. And it's so hot that rain, or that iron.
Molten
like,
iron?
Atomizes, and then molten iron. Whoa. And it comes down. So basically, the sky is some sort of like ionized molten iron cloud system.
Holy shit.
And then the rain drops down as like iron, like almost liquid pebbles.
Man, space is cool.
It's crazy. And so scientists are studying it and they're like, this would be the craziest place to see.
I would just be on that planet. Man, I wish I was like super into science of space as a kid. I would have lost myself to like being an astronaut or wanting to be that way. Anyway, we got to wrap this up. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your support. I hope you've been enjoying the mini-sodes. We'll be back with the next one in the next episode with some more fun headlines. We'll see you next time.
This has been...
Goodbye.
Tater Thoughts.
Brought to you by Orida.
Orida. The scary. It's so good, it's scary.
I have nothing to add. Goodbye.
Thanks for the money, bitches.
They still make Orida? Yeah.
Fantastic. Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the next Chilluminati Minisode, Minisode number 3. As always, an immediate thank you to our patrons for the support. Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for the money, suckers!
Don't do that.
Content that you paying for early. Heck yeah.
Literally, we could not make this into our job without you, for real, so thank you.
Yeah, we really can't. Thank you very, very, very much. We appreciate it. So, I know me and Alex have brought it, and I think Jesse's, I don't know if Jesse brought anything. But
what am I gonna do, fake news?
So real boring news articles.
Yeah,
about,
I should just be like, stock market. It crashed.
Here are some
3,000
safety
points.
Tips. Wash your hands. I saw a great video about a guy and he has rubber gloves and he puts ink on his hand like it's soap. And then he begins to wash it and he shows you what it looks like when you normally wash your hands and how you're supposed to really wash your hands. So his entire gloves are covered in ink by the end of it. He's like, this is how you get all the germs. He's like, that's fascinating. That's what I'm bringing. Take care of yourself. Don't fall for BS. The next two stories you hear are not true. Continue.
Okay.
These are. You know what? Well, actually, I think today we're going to be. Today we have some true stories.
Yeah, I've got a true story for you. Where it's a mini true crime dip, real quick, into something that happened yesterday. So this is like, breaking news.
Same here. This is a wild ride. This is gonna be a wild ride today.
We'll start with a bit morbid stuff. Vermont woman allegedly kills boyfriend by slitting neck as authorities reject self-defense. This particular article is currently coming from People magazine. Not that, you know, we're trying to talk about, you know, her murdering him, but what she did afterward and the reason she gave are what are the most interesting. A Vermont woman pled not guilty to second-degree murder charges after she allegedly admitted to killing her boyfriend by cutting his neck in what she claimed was an act of self-defense, according to multiple reports. Avril Bellevue, 30, is charged in connection with the death of 45-year-old Cameron Falling, according to Burlington Press. On that Saturday morning, Bellevue, she called 911 from her studio apartment. There, Vermont police officers arrived, discovered a gruesome scene while she drank tea. Her apartment was covered in blood, police say, according to TV station. So what ended up happening is that 2 days beforehand, she snuck up behind her boyfriend after buying this knife weeks ago. Snuck up behind him while they were talking about something and just jabbed it into his neck and slit his neck.
She then
spent the next 2 days drinking tea and spending time with the body, sleeping with it, and just generally just using it before she called the police on herself and claimed self-defense. However, her claims were not met with the autopsy that was performed afterward, as there were no signs of struggle and he just had the giant knife wound in his throat. And she claimed the reason she slit his neck, on top of saying self-defense, was she was also really upset that she didn't, that her boyfriend did not buy her weed fast enough.
So she cut his fucking throat?
Yeah.
Dude, I bet you she's addicted to something worse than weed.
Oh, absolutely. There's just no way. But all that's out right now. That's all that's out. She drank tea for 2 days. She popped by her parents' house, I guess, to change her clothes and then went back to like make tea and spend time.
You know what's crazy is that's not the first time I've heard of like a killer hanging out with the body for like before turning themselves in.
Yeah, no.
Just to like live in that reality for a while.
That
it's
almost
so sounds
yeah, that almost sounds like even like the self-defense, which wasn't it, and like the weed fast enough clearly wasn't it. To me it rings of somebody who like had the idea stuck in their head and obsessed over it, like you just said, and had to know what it was like. Spending 2 days after that, like spending time with it and playing with basically the body. That's like the seeds of a serial killer. The beginnings of.
Yeah. Though I will say like blood everywhere is not necessarily a telltale sign of a murder. And I know that firsthand, well, secondhand, because my buddy from school, he told me this story one time of he was playing the PC port of Final Fantasy VII back in the day.
Oh my goodness.
Like just chilling in a quiet, dark house by himself. Like maybe he's, you know, he's a latchkey kid vibes. He's sitting there. And if you can imagine, he's like PC screen is in front of him. And to his right is like a large window that on the other side of the window is like the porch. Right.
Okay.
So
yeah,
he's
yeah,
sitting
I gotcha.
There. His dad comes home, is on the porch, there's water or something or ice or something, and he slips and falls through the window, crashes, like falls between him and the computer.
Oh my god.
Splashes through the window and he's like, oh shit. oh no, I think you got to call the hospital. And he looks at his wrist, which is slit with glass, and it's literally with every beat of his heart.
Oh,
is like shooting
no.
blood all over the walls of the, as he's turning God. Around and looking around at where all the blood is coming from. He doesn't even realize that it's shooting out of his own wrist. Like a supermarket squirt gun toy.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
He didn't even have to spend a night in the hospital. Like, he was fine, but blood was literally fucking everywhere.
Good God.
So, you know, gruesome. Think about that next time you think about blood at a crime scene.
Sweet. So what'd you bring, Alex?
Okay. So this story is a little bit bigger than I expected it to get. So
yeah.
This is truly like a mini-sode right now. But this story comes from the East Idaho News is the name of the publication. EastIdahoNews.com by a guy named Nate Eaton. It was posted yesterday at about 6 p.m. It's a pretty high-profile case right now in general. It involves two missing kids, so it's like a big deal right now. I'm sure you've... If you have been paying attention to the news outside of the coronavirus, this is probably something you've heard of. But I'm pretty sure most people don't know the like weird details of this case as much, so I'm going to get into that right now. This is the story of Lori Vallow Daybell and her husband Chad Daybell, who are currently under investigation for the disappearance of Lori's missing kids, JJ Vallow, who's 7.
I know this story. Oh, yes. This is a good one.
Yeah, JJ Vallow is 7, and Tylee Ryan, who is 17. So those are both Lori's kids. Neither of them have been seen by anyone since last September. But since we're going to get into it, I have to give you kind of like a cast of characters first so you can understand just how fucking crazy this story is, okay? So first off, you have Lori Vallow Daybell, who is the mother, who's currently in custody at the Madison County Jail in Idaho on two charges for each kid, desertion and non-supportive dependent children. You have her husband, Chad Daybell, who is actually Lori's 5th husband, who he married her literally 2 weeks after his previous wife, Tammy, died under mysterious circumstances.
Jesus Christ.
This case is happening in real time. Tammy was just exhumed and an autopsy is being performed right now, so we don't know for sure if there was foul play. But most important for Lori and Chad is that they both have these religious beliefs that they believe in, which we will get into in a second, but I need to introduce a few more people. But the religious beliefs at the core of this whole case, and man, it's crazy. So next, there's a woman named Melanie Boudreau Pawlowski, who's Lori's niece, who is also shares these religious beliefs, and who up until last year sometime was married to a man named Brandon Boudreau. Okay, so Melanie and Brandon... and Brandon currently has custody of his and Melanie's kids, or at least their kids together, probably Melanie's kids. he also says Melanie knows where JJ and Tylee are, the two missing kids, and was involved in a shooting that he escaped from. Like, he says he was shot at, but he didn't get hit or killed or anything, in October on his way back home from a workout. Okay. So far,
damn.
That's all crazy. But then there's also Melanie's current husband, Ian Pawlowski, who works with the police to help find JJ and Tylee, and who also allegedly wrote a document describing this religion that we're about to get into.
Oh, God.
But I'm not going to get into that yet because we have one more guy who is unfortunately named, and I feel like you're going to feel left out, Mathis,
when
I tell you what this guy's name was.
Oh, no.
His name is Alex Cox. His name is Alex Michael Cox. No,
thank you. I feel better.
That's in the headcanon. But that's Lori's brother. Lori's brother also died under mysterious circumstances in December, but who's also confirmed to have killed Lori's last husband, Charles Vallow, allegedly in self-defense.
It's like the days of our lives, dude.
Yeah.
And there's a video also, of it too. There's a video of that where the cops are talking to the dude on like the street after he killed him, and he's like, "Yeah, I killed him in self-defense."
It's crazy.
It's wild.
He's also the suspected shooter in the gym shooting that where the other guy didn't get hit.
Why do people keep boning this lady? She's trying to get him all her hubby killed.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So now let's get into the religion.
She must be good in bed.
Yeah. So basically,
good takeaway,
the niece,
good, nice takeaway.
The niece Melanie, right? The one with the two living husbands still. The ex-husband who got shot at and the one husband who's working with the cops.
Good God.
Melanie tried to have her ex-husband held in contempt for making false statements to the court. And so he like fired back with a 70-page document that has a statement from her current husband, which according to EastIdahoNews.com, Boudreaux got from this guy's computer. So I want to be clear. This is like allegedly.
Yeah, all this is like you said, happening in real time. It's all alleged.
Yeah. So this, I don't want to get in trouble. But this is all alleged. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. But this document is very long. You can actually read the document in its entirety. It's available online as a PDF. It mentions, quote, zombies, which in this case means, quote, human bodies that have had their original spirits forced from them and have been possessed by either a demon, disembodied spirit, or a worm/slug.
What? Are they trying to, so they're trying to make zombies?
It has to do with zombies, and I'll get into how. So apparently he goes on to say, and this is a quote, spirits can be pushed from their bodies during traumatic events or deadly injury. Spirits pushed out are trapped in limbo as the body they're tied to is still living but cannot be occupied by them anymore. Okay? So that's the deal with the zombies. This is like a thing that can happen to you, basically. And there's also a mention of a, quote, dark church and 50, quote, dark translated beings who originated with Cain from the Bible.
Oh, my
God. Who literally walk the earth trying to stop the second coming of Christ. And he also said that they believed that the two police investigators working the case were some of these dark beings.
Some of the 50?
I'm not actually clear on that. The phrase translated is like thrown around with regard to the 50.
Okay, gotcha.
But the two cops are only referred to as dark beings.
Gotcha.
So Ian, the current husband, who, by the way, is still married to this woman.
Said that, man, he's committed. Till death do them part.
Literally, yeah. He said that at first he didn't take it seriously because it sounded like it was, quote, ripped straight out of a Dungeons and Dragons manual.
Yeah.
But since they got married, quote, faster than any sane couple would, he immediately started getting worried about how serious she was taking it. Because apparently on their wedding night, he said, quote, she explained zombies and her fears about what Chad and Lori stated concerning the original spirits being caught in limbo until the body's death. She stated that Brandon, and again, that's Boudreaux, the guy who was shot at, had been possessed by a demon or another dark entity sometime after June of this year. She was told through either revelation or by Chad that something needed to happen to Boudreaux in order for his spirit to progress and for the Lord's plan to continue.
By revelation or by Chad. Honestly, they're equal.
I'm going to go with Chad, actually.
I'd probably go with Chad on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chad. She didn't take well to the idea of her husband dying as part of the Lord's plan, her ex-husband anyway. Well, at the time, it was her husband. But you get what I'm saying. Like, they divorced last year, and she has since gotten married to this guy, Ian. But at the time, she believed that, oh my gosh, my husband is possessed, and something needs to happen to him to help him. So this, Ian says, is why Alex Mathis Cox, took those shots at Brandon in October under the direction of Chad and Lori, but he was like not sure about that. That was like the least clear thing he says in his little allegedly document.
Have we, in this whole thing, have you mentioned what the case actually is yet?
We'll get to it. So,
okay.
There's a whole thing here happening.
Besides this like side story.
We're getting to it. So, okay. More importantly, he also said, this is the real deal. So this is where we're getting to what actually happened here. So, quote, Melanie had been told by Chad and Lori, this is a quote, Melanie had been told by Chad and Lori that their children had been possessed and had become zombies. She shared concerns that she's been told Brandon needed to die, and that may indicate that Tylee and JJ needed to die as well. She told me she was worried that Al, aka Alex Cox, may have had to take care, quote, quote, of the kids. She explained that Al had great faith and never wavered in his trust in the Lord, and that no task would be too difficult or too great for him. So then, while Ian was getting worried about that, his ex-wife, another person, his ex-wife, before marrying Melanie, contacted Brandon Boudreau, Melanie's ex-husband, and told him that Melanie was in a cult and tried to have him killed. So that's when she and Ian went to the police together, and Ian began sharing all this info with Boudreau, I guess, or from his computer. He, like, typed it up. I'm not sure exactly what happened. He even tried to, like, apparently he said he tried to, like, catch them talking about their kids. Like, he tried to, like, go in with a recorder to Chad and Lori and try and get them to, like, talk about where their kids are.
Yeah, try to get just, like, nonchalantly get them to confess, basically.
Yeah, but it never worked because apparently they never even act like they had kids. They don't even talk about, like, that kids exist.
Huh.
So after that, a welfare check was made on the kids in Idaho at their home, Chad and Lori's home, because the extended family reported having not seen any of these kids for months, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, what the fuck? So Chad and Lori lied and said, oh, the kids are living in Arizona, because that's where the Boudreau connection is. It takes them to Arizona. So they were like, they're living in Arizona right now. You have to come back at a later date and then you can check on them and, you know, whatever. But the cops were like, I don't know. And so they came back the next day, and the daybells were completely gone. They had completely just taken off. Until recently, like a couple months ago, when they were both just discovered in Hawaii and taken into custody, and no kids are anywhere. And there's like weird surveillance footage of somebody taking the kids' stuff and putting it in a storage unit. And there's all these weird like phone calls and weird things that are like maybe evidence in this trial. But nothing has been confirmed yet because, like I said, the case is still ongoing
right
now.
Everything's alleged.
But weirdly, most of all, Ian, the guy who's cooperating with the cops, and Melanie, his wife, who is like still believes in this religion, are still being represented by the same lawyer. And the lawyer is taking Melanie's side over Ian's. He's denying the stuff that Ian said in the document, which is why I keep saying allegedly so much. But there's a hearing next week in Arizona for their children. And literally yesterday, like 15 hours ago or something, the two lawyers working on Lori's case, the kid's case, just walked off the case without any explanation.
What?
Yeah. So that's all that I know right now about this. That's all there is now, is like these guys probably killed their kids and like hid them and tried to like run off and do a life together because the one dude was like, they're all demons. They have to die. But if anything else significant happens, I will like update this with more information.
That's fucking wild. What the hell? It's like a drama. It's like literally a drama on like a daytime soap opera. It's got
cults. It's like a Jerry Springer episode that is like a little bit too fucked up.
Also true.
Yeah. I'm just blown away by that. But yeah. So what do you think, Jesse, right? Like pretty believable, realistic stories, but just kind of fucking crazy, right?
I mean, I've been following it since the whole they fled to Hawaii and they were hiding out on the island, and then the cops went to find them because of the kids. And the kids have gone missing, and there's a whole... I mean, I've been following it ever since then.
It's wild. I've never heard of it. That's just, like, it's almost a little hard to follow, because there's so many people involved.
I mean, ignore all the people involved. The main story literally is Chad and Lori Daybell, back in 2018, I think, did, like, a podcast together or something. I don't know what happened. And needless to say, Lori vanishes. For like almost 2 months, and when she comes back, Charles is like, I want a divorce, and Lori's like, I'm gonna kill you, and I'm gonna take the kids,
and
then
this
she
is Charles.
Steals.
This is her first husband,
right?
Their fourth husband, her last husband, yeah.
Yes, and she's like, I'm gonna kill you, and then steals $35,000 from him, and then he's like, okay, well, maybe we can make the thing work, right? Then Lori's niece divorces her husband, like Alex said.
Yep, yep.
Then Charles Vallow, husband 4, shot and killed by Alexander Cox in the house because I guess Lori left and Alex and Charles were in the house together and then someone got killed. And when the police show up, Alex is like, he attacked me. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, he attacked me. And there's no, it's like a weird, there's no emotion in him.
Yeah, and like doesn't and seem so, to care. Just saying it because absolutely. He has to say it.
Yes. And so then Lori leaves Arizona and goes to be with the other guy. Can't remember his damn name.
Chad.
Chad, yeah. Chad Daybell. And then everything picks up.
Yeah.
Everything picks up around September 23rd, where on September 23rd, the kids go missing. The two children.
Well, that's the welfare check day, yeah.
Yeah, JJ was last seen at school, and his sister was last seen around that time as well. They vanish. And then they're unenrolled. Like, the other kid is unenrolled from school. And then Lori Vallow, Daybell, whatever, rents a storage unit.
God, so weird. That's so suspicious.
Right? Then Brandon, like Alex said, says someone shot at him. Then Tammy Daybell calls 911 and says Chad was like going crazy and was shooting a paintball gun at them or something. And then a masked assailant was there. And then Tylee, who is the girl, the young girl, uses Venmo.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Like on the phone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. Uses
that's
Venmo
weird.
On the phone. And people are like, hello, are you alive? No response. Then Tammy Daybell is killed. Tammy Daybell dies, supposedly natural causes, but who knows? Tammy Daybell is then buried. And this is October like 20 something. Then a friend of Tylee's gets the text, but they have no idea who it is. They don't know if it's actually her. It's very, you know, unspecific. The yeah. Bordeaux's finally the Boudreaux's finally get a divorce, and then witnesses say they were all told different stories about what had happened. People were told, you know, Tylee died years ago. Or people were told that the kids didn't even exist. Like, crazy stories. And then, and yeah. So, in the middle of November, Melanie Boudreaux is arrested. Because she's apparently trespassing on Brandon's parents' property.
Okay.
And trying then to get they her kids go for... Back. Yeah, they go for a Rexburg welfare check in November, like late November, and this is the last time where they find nothing. They go for a search warrant, and Alex Cox then marries someone, which I didn't even know. Yeah. I guess Alex Cox marries someone, and then Melanie remarries someone, and then immediately December 1, the Daybells vanish. Vanish. Just straight up vanish. The next time they are seen is after they had fled to Hawaii, gotten married, and then secretly hid out there in December of last year. And then Alex Cox mysteriously murdered in Arizona. Cause of his death, unknown. They announce a search. This is worldwide. This is like middle of December. Towards the end of December, this is around Christmas time, they're like, we're looking for these kids. We don't know where these kids are. The parents are missing. They're persons of interest. We cannot find them. If you know where they're at, let us know. Then there's the attorney statement that Alex talked about. And then it's just like, okay, we cannot find these kids. If anyone knows, we know that the Daybells must know something. We have to find them. If you can get them, let us know. They search their house. They search everywhere. And then the family, the Woodcock family, are like, we will give a reward if anyone can tell us anything about what happened. And this is January of this year. Like, we will give any reward. We do not care. We don't know what's going on right now. The brother of Chad speaks out, right? Everyone's just like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's wild. That's insane.
Yeah. And so Lori Daybell
is... It almost sounds like cult, just cult mentality gone wrong.
Yes.
I don't know how big this cult is, though. That's the thing that's so weird about
it. Sometimes
it
can just be a few people.
Yeah, it's fucking weird, man.
Yeah, Lori and Chad are found, and they speak to people at like, well, you know, we tried to, you know, we tried to do the best for our kids, and, you know, they're fine. Don't worry about it. You're like, what?
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
They have not said anything.
About?
Lori doesn't show up for court when she's supposed to show up for court. People are, like, looking around the storage unit, and inside the storage unit is just children's toys.
Yeah, it's like kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
They had like, they think, weird. It seems like they thought they had like the most genius plan, and then they like accidentally copied it from like a shitty movie.
They even got a $1 million life insurance policy on the kids.
Yeah. They're stupid. They're like establishing like every motive possible.
Yeah. Like,
hopefully
weird.
When they finally find these kids, they like something.
I'm letting you know, these kids are super dead.
Look, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to
firmly believe that.
Absolutely.
I don't want to say that. I'm just saying when they finally do find them dead or alive, like, hopefully we get some answers. And I would really love to hear from these fucking lawyers that walked off of this case. I would really fucking love to hear from them.
Apparently, I got some backstory. Someone was talking about it where Chad Daybell is like, Lori, I guess, did a show with him. I think the podcast. And she, like, became infatuated with him because he is very charismatic, and he's, like, a preacher dude. And the podcast they went on, he was talking all sorts of crazy, culty stuff. I'm so curious how he got her. And I wonder if because she had been married four times, if she... To me, I'm just going to put this out there. Anyone who's married four times doesn't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
No,
they're
it's
lost
like a,
and confused, and they're trying to find themselves in someone else, and this dude is like, I have all the answers, got her. It has to be. It has to be that.
That's like textbook like cult person, like textbook
cult
follower.
Leader person that can say their nonsense in a convincing enough way and can portray themselves in such a way that they all have all the answers, like you said, even though it's usually vague platitudes that mean nothing. If you say it with confidence and you can convince someone desperate enough to believe you, it's all it takes sometimes.
I often have thought about, because this case, I've heard it so many times. I've often thought about the fact that, you know, one thing a mother especially is attached to is her kids. And you can't just take your kids and bring them to a cult. And so if you're a cult leader... The thing you can say that would get her to be like, I have to forsake my kids is like, they
unholy,
are walking slug brain demons.
Dark translated
And
demons.
They're gone. They don't exist anymore. Those things are not your children. We have to kill them so that you can be free of them and then their souls can be free. Like something crazy like that. And I guarantee that's because all of the women in this cult have that same like, I need to get to my kids. I need to find my kids, which is crazy. So, who knows? It's terrible.
Maybe
but
looking,
it's also
maybe they're looking to
fascinating.
Find the kids' spirits to possess the people they're killing off.
It's fucked up. You can actually read the whole document. If you want, I'll link you to it. It is totally insane. Let me...
Definitely drop me a link. Don't you do it. Yeah, do it on... Throw me in Twitter DM so I can grab it easier after this.
Sure.
And I can throw it up on the Patreon post.
Sure.
Oh, well... That's a weird story for both of us. Both true crime and nature. One a little bit more culty than the other.
I just couldn't believe that it was a real story. Like I'd heard about it. I'd heard about it, but I never like realized how wild it was. And then I started reading into it like a couple weeks ago and I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck is this?
It's drama levels of insanity. It's crazy, dude.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for the support on Patreon. I hope you guys enjoyed this little mini-sode.
Can we spoil anything? What's our next episode?
Well, I should, by the time, be ready for the next one to be Skinwalker. I needed just a little bit more time. Just a few more things. I hadn't finished the second book yet.
How much time do you need? Do you need a Jesse Cox episode's worth of time?
I won't say no to a Jesse Cox episode worth of time just for the sake of getting a Jesse Cox episode.
I've got a lot
there.
Of free time right now. I'm down to do an episode.
Tell me when.
Doing this is like, we're not changing anything about the way we record this podcast right now because of our unfortunate
not at all.
Situation.
I got free time. I can write up all something right. real nice.
Wait,
it'll blow
minds. If you can get done before I'm ready with my Skinwalker, I mean, like, I don't know how fast you can get it done.
Oh, yeah. I'm
going
to get it done.
All right, sounds good. Thank you guys so much for the support on Patreon. Hope you enjoyed the mini-sode, and we'll see you with the next one next time there's an episode. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.
Whoa, excellent. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Next Illuminati mini-sode over on the Patreon, at least for now. You might be listening to
this
in
the Cool Kids Club.
This is the Cool Kids Club. You listened to it early, just for you. We got a couple neat... I got a fun article today. I don't know what you got, Alex, but I got a neat one. You brought something kind of unique today.
Mine is like definitely like big quarantine vibes. Like I'll tell you about it when we get to... I don't know who you want to go first. I'll happily go. This is like only during quarantine time.
But we had a new UFO sighting that I want to talk about. So that's what we're going to do on mine.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, depends on how heavy is yours. Is it a heavy topic?
No, it's mostly fun.
Okay, mine too. I'll start this time. I think you started last time. So okay, here's my article. It comes from the Derby Telegraph. And it's called Chadiston Barman Tells of Seeing UFO Known as, quote, the Black Knight, end quote. And there's a picture of the gentleman who saw it. Do you all know who Liam Kyle Sullivan? Do you remember him on YouTube? He was the Oh My God Shoes guy.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Shoes.
He looks like him. This is what he looks like. I'm going to link you guys the article real quick.
Where's he
in
from?
Zoom. Derbyshire, I guess. Or, Chadiston. Chadiston.
In my mind, I'm imagining one of the, like, 500 miles guys. And I would walk, right?
The Proclaimers? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks like Ron Weasley.
He does. A little Ron Weasley. Yeah. So here's
who's the guy who plays Vision?
Oh my God.
He's like a mix between Vision and Ron Weasley.
So a Chadiston Barman
looks like his Adam's apple's trying to escape through his throat.
It is. It's like red.
Trying to get out.
It's like irritated from the desperate attempts at peeling away at the skin.
Oh, I feel bad for this kid. Here's the thing, though. In about 5 years, he's going to be the sexiest man who ever lived. I know
how
this
works. That's
what
happens to all the awkward ones, man.
I know how this
works.
That's
British people to a T. Yeah. I don't understand how it happens.
It's very strange. So a Chadiston pre-butterfly barman has opened up publicly about his UFO experience, describing what he believes he witnessed as a phenomenon dubbed as the Black Knight. Zyle, I think that's how you say it. Zyle was with two friends when he saw a dark prism shape emerge from the night sky and move towards them. The mates watched as terror slowly fell over Mr. Giuseppe, while the dark specter loomed over them for a full 15 minutes. Mr. Giuseppe said the UFO had two bright stars at the top of what he described as a ship. He said they appeared to act like headlights.
Didn't he have a phone?
I guess not. He then said he had drank 2 pints of beer. His friend Alex had drank 1 pint. Alex's girlfriend Haley was sober. Proud parents, Alex and Haley are still together and have discussed the events. Oh, this happened in 2016, apparently. Many times since it happened. The location was Bulwell Forest Golf Club by the third hole at the top of a hill. Very specific. Mr. Giuseppe, who was a barman at Bunk before it closed during the coronavirus outbreak, said the UFO had no noise at all as was hovered above them on a quiet evening. I'm sorry for your loss, sir. He said, We decided to go for a stroll after going to the pub. It was a nice night. We walked up to the top of the hill. As we were staring at the sky, there were these two stars that moved toward us. They grew. I thought they couldn't possibly be stars. They both came into focus up close to us in the air. I thought maybe it was a helicopter, but there wasn't any sound. He added, as you focused on it, you could see there was a black shape around it, which was slightly differently colored to the night sky. And now he's going to school.
What? So this is a news story in a town that's under quarantine.
I'm imagining under quarantine, a story that came out of the time he saw a UFO in 2016, it says. But this article
is
from a few
days ago. They're
like,
what do we got? We got a bartender who saw an alien.
I mean,
4 years ago.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that is not a UFO description I am at all familiar
ever
with.
Heard. Yeah, interesting.
I have never heard, like, you hear of, like, the hourglass shaped ones, the tic tac shaped ones, the sphere shaped ones, all kinds of different ones. But this one with two lights at the top, this pyramid, I don't know why they call it the Black Knight, and it just looked at them for 15 minutes. I don't know. I've never heard of it. Oh, there's more.
There's a continuation about the
article says Tesla.
I stopped early.
Yeah, it says Tesla talked about the Black Knight.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue. What? The Black Knight is a supposed astrological phenomenon that was written about the famous Nikola Tesla.
Oh, I know what this is. What? There's a picture of this.
The scientists drew pictures, which are available to view online, which show a black prism with two bright stars near the top, similar to what the bartender described. According to some conspiracists, it is an artificial satellite which has orbited Earth for approximately 13,000 years.
Yeah, there's a NASA pic of it, dude. Like, look at this.
What?
What? I'm looking at this right now. What? It's called the Black Knight. There's okay. straight up just an entry on Wikipedia, the Black Knight satellite conspiracy theory.
Well, what it probably is, according to Skeptoid, which is that Brian Dunning podcast where he just like ruins cool stories. it could be pulsars that Tesla saw, but this picture, which NASA says is trash.
Yeah, this looks, they said it's space debris.
Like that's, I mean, if I saw that, I would be freaking out.
That's wild. But like if it was just hovering in front of him, what the heck? Like that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, he continued to say, it felt like an intense analysis of me. I think emotionally he was trying to pick up what I was feeling. I don't know how he understands that. At the time, it had only been 3 weeks since my friend had been stabbed. I think it just wanted to know how I felt around that time. All right. Well, now we're starting to get into trauma processing, maybe. Who knows? We've spoken about it extensively since, and they still talk about it today. That's the end of the article.
After realizing it reminded him of internet stories describing the Black Knight, he hid under a tree.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh my God. I love that.
Well, that's my little article for today. Any new UFO phenomenons, I'm on board. All times.
There's not like actually a great repository of like collected headlines from around the world that are specifically about the paranormal.
Well, because the last time that happened, the dude who was doing it got visited by the Men in Black for the very first time. Remember, that's what he was doing when the Men in Black showed up. He was collecting stories from his town.
You just think that there would be a subreddit that's like, the rules are you can't tell personal stories. You just report like news stories. Mm-hmm.
You'd think, but
I would love for that to be the thing. I don't know. But I have something totally different for you. I have a tweet that I saw today that has, as of this writing, 420 retweets, which is perfect. Hell yeah. but it's from this person named Jacqueline Felker, who is credited in her Twitter bio as a senior writer for Cards Against Humanity. I don't know if that's true or not. Because I don't know this person personally, but their Twitter is at WhatTheFelk. And it says, seems like a good time to share this letter my parents got last year about their home being haunted. So I'm going to read this.
Okay.
And then she just posted,
oh, okay.
She just posted a picture of the letter, so I'm going to read the letter. Dear Felker, imagine you rent your house to somebody like years before, and then out of the blue you get a letter from somebody.
Okay.
Dear Felkers, my husband and I rented your home during the summer of 2017. Every so often, I thought about sending you this letter, and I guess I'm feeling that now is the right time to do so. Please know that I am not a crazy person.
It's a good way
to
start
your letter. My family
doesn't
do drugs. We are just a normal family. While we were staying at your home, I saw a spirit of an older man in a denim shirt on three different occasions. All three times, I saw him in the kitchen area, walking through the kitchen, up the steps to the third floor, or back into one of the back bedrooms off the kitchen. My son also saw him in the kitchen area and in the bar area. My children all experienced, saw, or heard things while we were on vacation. My husband, probably the biggest skeptic of us all, awoke one morning to see which kid was making so much noise in the kitchen at 5 a.m. There was no one in the kitchen. I'm not writing to complain or scare you, but to share with you that if you've seen this man, so have I. So did we. We just assumed that he was a lost soul who hadn't crossed over yet. Was it a little unnerving? Yes, it was. Quite a few things were happening the weekend that my kids and their friends stayed with us, but nothing bad ever happened. So if this seemingly nice man is a relative of yours, I'm sorry for your loss. Perhaps a previous homeowner? Someone who died while on vacation renting your home? Who knows? But we saw and felt his presence. So there you have it. My name is blank and my phone number is blank. They scratch it out.
Yeah, of course.
Should you have any additional questions? Aside from our visitor, we enjoyed your home very much.
That's awesome. I would be pumped.
I would be pissed because this would ruin, like, if I owned like a beautiful big house. Like, I live in an apartment right now that's basically like a cigar box. Like, you know, you can walk across it. Like, I go on a vacation to the living room and like that's what my life is right now. So, but if I had a house and I was alone and I like was sleeping there and then somebody wrote me a letter that was like, no, you don't understand. My whole family saw this thing. Like, be careful. It's there. Who knows what it is? It didn't hurt us, but it's there. Right?
I don't know. I might be excited because that would be like, well, if I wasn't experiencing anything and somebody wrote me a letter and was like, yo, haunted, I might be nervous. But I imagine if it is actually like truly haunted, then she's probably aware. Did she say if her mother was aware? Or?
She said there's a follow up tweet that she said, for everyone asking, no one in my family has ever seen this man in denim as much as I wish I had. My dad did call me to take this down because it could affect future renters, but I told him it's too important. But then I was scrolling through the replies. And there's a tweet from somebody called Big Truss.
Oh, no.
And it says, I don't know how this tweet appeared on my timeline, but my family rented your house in blank during the summer of 2017. My mom sent the letter because we were genuinely curious if you've seen the same guy. Saw and heard shit all week. It was wild. And then Jacqueline wrote back, no way. Yes, I've been the number one believer the entire time, even though we've never experienced anything. Wow. And then he said, never experienced anything like it before. Myself and four or five others all had separate experiences or sightings.
That's interesting, because then you think, oh, well, did it follow them? Was it attached to them in some way? But if they've never seen anything outside of that,
maybe you just have to be open to it.
Yeah, you got to be open to it, man. Hell yeah.
I mean, that's what I've always heard, right? Like, that certain people have, like, The Shining and some people don't.
Well, I mean, I've been shouting to be, like, have an experience forever, and I have.
You tried to sell your soul to the devil for something.
I wanted to be a superhero. I was trying to do good in the world, all right?
He was trying to be Spider-Man, you but, like, so the
badly,
satanic
yeah, you so badly want to experience anything. You're like, look, Satan, what do I gotta do?
I'm a sad childhood, dude. I need to do something.
So then I looked through the like replies. There was one that said, do your parents own this house? And it's an Airbnb called The Mansion in the Pines. It has 8 bedrooms, 21 beds.
Jesus Christ.
And the note on the overview says, all events must be approved prior to scheduling your rental. You may not book a wedding or reception or corporate event through Airbnb. Additional charge of $25 per person over 16 people. This is a one-time charge. This has been our family home for more than 18 years and still is. We have a lovely family atmosphere and want to keep it that way. We absolutely do not allow any murder mystery dinners, haunted or ghost-themed parties, nor anything that might be similar. We will prosecute if necessary. Our home is not haunted, and we strictly prohibit anything that would give the impression that it might be.
That's great.
I never thought about that. I never thought about, like, you know, people have been talking about how scientists have been having to figure in for coronavirus, like the added extra element that in America, especially, like, people treat the research as if it's like nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's like an obstacle. And like, it's just funny to think, like, would you stay in a house that like was like, it's famously haunted?
Whoop.
Yes, specifically to bring. Wait, what?
Hello?
Are you all right?
Yeah, can you see me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything just flickered.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, and I see it.
My monitors are on and off like crazy right now.
Oh, it's time! It's time!
The You're cat is entering the frame behind you.
What the hell was that? I just lost everything. Dude. My whole office.
Mathis, who's out of your room?
It's your damn doll.
Don't turn around. Oh, you turned around.
Oh, they said turn around. Sorry. It's the damn doll. I put him in a closet a long time ago. He's still in there.
Did you untape?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
Hell no.
I'm not playing games.
Oh, it's so funny.
Have you ever... Have you ever stayed somewhere that was supposed to be haunted?
Yes.
That wasn't like a family home?
Nothing ever happened.
I've always wanted to like go to like room 13 kind of stuff. I've always wanted to like do a travel
Emily
show
Morgan
like,
Hotel. I did it twice, and it was never had an experience.
Nothing? Did you bring, like, gear?
No, I didn't bring gear. I wasn't in the mindset of ghost hunting at the time. I would now.
I would love to do that. Once this is all over with and we can go outside again, I would
love to.
That'll
be our $10,000 goal. We'll do $10,000. We'll go do a live ghost hunt somewhere.
Like a Zach Bagans.
Yeah,
lockdown.
We'll do a Zach Bagans style, like taunting for possession. Like, bring it on. Let's do it.
I have recorders. I have like some camera stuff. We could rent like a EMP or whatever that thing is, or like a little electric meter.
Boom.
Put out, take out all the power. You know what I'm talking about,
EVP,
though.
EVP, good sir?
No, not EVP. Like, what's the, like, it's like a meter.
Like a K2
I don't know
meter?
Yeah, maybe.
A K2 meter
that, like,
is the one
like
that has
the
a little
ghost
bar, and it'll go up with the green light.
Yeah, well, like the Ghostbusters one where the sides go up like bug-in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Class 5, whatever.
Yeah. I want that.
I'm down. $10,000. When we go, let's get to full time first. If we ever get to 10,000, we'll do live. I would
guys,
do a live ghost hunt.
That's why you guys are doing the right thing.
Live ghost hunt. I would do a live ghost hunt and record it in a heartbeat.
Live stream where we like are each in a room on a chat together.
We gotta get like Origin to sponsor us with mobile computers. Like we strap onto our backs.
I remember a while ago Jesse and I were looking at the house that's like next door to the. The Manson murder house.
Oh God!
Like on
Look,
Cielo
I've always
Drive.
Wanted to take Davis there and make him stay the night. I've always wanted to do a Scary Game Squad live. It's been my dream.
It's hard to find a place that will actually that's legitimately haunted enough that it's not just like a local legend. I want to go to like one of the big places that like all the people go and like stay there overnight.
Yeah.
I would love to do it.
I want to go to that haunted doll island in
Louisiana. Mexico? Oh, the Louisiana one?
Oh, Mexico? I'll go to Mexico haunted doll island. I don't care.
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get there. And thanks to your support, patrons, we're getting there now. Thanks for listening. That was fun.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you for the money, suckers.
That's how we end it every
Stop
single
this.
Time.
Stop
Goodbye.
This.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.